Blog Talk Radio.
It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes, it will. It's been too hard living, but I'm afraid to die. I don't know what's up there beyond the sky. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the movie and I go downtown. Somebody keep telling me don't hang around. It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. Then I go to my brother. Say, brother, help me please. But he winds up knocking me back down on my knees. Lord, there have been times that I thought I couldn't last for long. But I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it
We don't need two out of but three words. Tell this nation what we are talking about. They don't need words. You don't need to have a great vocabulary to utter. You don't need to have a philosophical bent to grasp. They are three little words. We want to let the world know that these words describe what we mean and what we are determined to do about racial injustice. We don't want a few token hand out here and there. We want all of our rights. Down in Alabama, in Georgia, South Carolina, telling us to slow up. We can hear voices telling us to cool off. Our only answer in calm, ancient time must be that we have cooled off too long, and if we keep cooling off, we'll end up in a deep freeze. We must go on and say, what we are saying to this nation is that we want all of our rights. We want them here, and we want all of them not next year, not next week, but we want them now, at this hour. This is what they say.
What your life and truth let be. Shine a star for you to see. What your life and truth let be.
If you have ever owned a slave, please raise your hand. Slavery is not our fault. We didn't do it. We didn't cause it. It's not our responsibility, but it is our shared history. And when we...
Cold November day, we said we need. Saturday night, and it's Experiencing Spiritual Unity and Meditation with the man himself, Dr. Benjamin Bridges, always dropping some extraordinary information. Let's call it that. Give him my hand. Yes, indeed. Dr. Benjamin Bridges is on our show and trying to share with you guys some things that we need to know. What I wanted to speak with y'all about is something that's really important in regards to us being able to be investors as well into a lot of different things that are going on right now, because, you know, one of the big problems that we have in our community is that a lot of our folks like to just get money and spend it. Even if they hit a lottery or hit, you know, get some money, luckily, you know, they end up in a few days just spending all of their money. And then, you know, what ends up happening, whether they just get a house or a few cars or things of that sort, which is not a bad thing to have a house or a car, but the side of it that's really important for us is that out of that money that you get, you should take a portion of that money and invest it into different money for you. And unfortunately, that is one of the things that as a people, we don't really do. We're supposed to be the biggest consumers in America, but we're not in regards to dealing with, you know, actually investing. You know, there's very small percentage of our people that are into investing money into different programs that can make money for them. So these are things that we really need to know and get involved with, because as we do deal with that, it's 100% better for us. And that's one of the things that we really need to know, that we have the ability to, you know, make some additional cash. But if you're not going to get involved with it in regards to investing in it, then basically it's going to put you in a situation where you're going to avoid actually being able to, you know, tap into, you know, some great opportunities that can be coming your way. And one of the things that is a good thing that our people need to deal with right now, you know, you got cryptocurrency that's here and that is making a lot of money for people, even though sometimes you hear that it's not, but it really is. And you have a number of different coins that you can get involved with. But the big problem is a lot of our people don't even know, you know, about cryptocurrency and how it works, you know, in regards to investing into different coins that are available in the cryptocurrency industry. So these are things that could really be very helpful to our people. But again, if you don't know anything about it and you're not even interested in investing, then basically that is a problem, because that could be an opportunity that could set you free from a lot of the financial problems that you find yourself stuck in. And that's one of the reasons why we should definitely get involved in investing, because whether it's cryptocurrency, whether it's real estate, whether it's the stock industry, these are things that, you know, are good to actually be involved with, because a lot of people, whether they'll be millionaires from this or whether they're people that are just making a nice amount of extra cash each month into their, you know, bank account, that's a good thing, because when you do that, it opens the door for more money to come your way. But if you're just going to buy things like clothing, houses, cars, and things like that, and you're going to spend all your money on that, there's no money coming back to you from that. But when you buy a car, when you buy a house, you got to spend additional money for your car payment that's there each month, for your mortgage on your house that's there each month. So all of these things are things that I'm not saying, again, is bad. Because if you want to get a house, that's not a bad thing. If you want to get a car, that's not a bad thing. But the bottom line is a portion of your money should be placed into investing in different programs that can make money for you. So anyway, I just wanted to share that with you guys, because that is an important piece of the puzzle that our people need to really get involved with. In us getting involved with that, it opens the door for us to actually see what we could do to really bring about some great and wonderful things for our community and for ourselves as individuals, because the bottom line is, once you get involved with that, that's going to really open the door for us to, you know, see some positive results on that. But if you're just going to deal with it, yeah. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see what we can do in regards to that. And the good thing about it is that we're going to find ourselves having opportunities to really bring some great, wonderful situations to our lives. But again, the door still remains to be opened, but we just have to make those steps through that door of great success. Because if we're just going to see it open and ignore it, then that's a whole other story. But anyway, these are things that we could do and that we should do. And by dealing with that, that's a good thing that we can make really happen. But anyway, one of the other things that I wanted to share with you guys is that, you know, not only is making investments an important piece that we should get involved with, but also the other side of it is getting involved with things not only from a practical investment side, but also from a spiritual side. And that is very important as well. And that's one of the things that as a people, we are not really involved in like we should be. Because when we actually are involved with just dealing with things from a practical viewpoint and don't get involved with it from a spiritual viewpoint, that means that we're going to be involved with situations that are not bringing forth the opportunity for us to really make some serious money, you know, and to improve our lives in a number of different ways. Because manifesting wealth and also the opportunity to, you know, even heal ourselves and other people and different things spiritually are things that really do exist. Even though many of us might say, what, being able to spiritually heal each other and heal ourselves, we can do that? Yes, you can. But the big problem is if you don't know your true identity of what you can do, and that's a whole other story of what you're going to be able to make. Unfortunately, a lot of our people, you know, really don't know about, you know, their true identity in regards to being able to really help themselves in regards to healing and to be able to manifest money into their lives and things of that sort. But what we do know is that what the system has told us is that we're limited people that have limited ability to actually achieve things. And that's the thing that is a lie. We can achieve great and wonderful things in our lives. But as long as we're going to stay stuck in the mindset of seeing things from a negative perspective, unfortunately, those are the things that are going to set us back into staying stuck in poverty and staying stuck in negative situations that are difficult for us to survive in. And we don't need to be stuck in that mindset of seeing ourselves from a negative perspective. But once we start to reawaken ourselves to our true identity of who we are and what we can do, that's what really makes things very, very positive and powerful for us to know that we are true sons and daughters of God that have the ability to do great and wonderful things. Even though we've been told that we can't do these things, and even though we've been told that this is something that we can never really achieve, that's a sad thing to hear, but at the same time, it's a wonderful thing to know, because these aren't things that I'm just saying out of the side of my mouth because I think it would be a nice thing to say to my people. These are things that are said in the Bible. These are things that were said by Jesus. These are things that were said by his spiritual father, the Supreme Lord of the universe, Lord Jehovah. But the bottom line is this. Even though Lord Jehovah said this, do we know that he even said it? And the second thing is, being that Jesus said these things, do we even know that Jesus said it? Because if you don't know the really powerful things that were said by Jesus and that were said by Lord Jehovah, then basically we're just going to deal with some of the things that have been said in the Bible that leave us with the same situation of feeling that we are just limited people that cannot achieve very much in life at all. And that's one of the reasons why you look in our community and you see, you know, unfortunately, the situation that many of our people are into, and that is of poverty and of not being that successful with achieving things. And I'm not saying that none of our people are, but that's not true. But I'm talking about the majority of our people. That's a big difference between, you know, a few people that are, you know, singers, dancers, you know, football players, basketball players, you know, folks that are out there in the business industries. But there's a very small amount of people that are dealing with that and are making, you know, huge amount of money. But when you see the majority of people are people making money, but it's called poverty money because it's such a small amount of money. But that's one of the reasons why we need to awaken what we can do and utilize that ability to really make some great and wonderful things come through. But as long as we're just going to stay focused on, we can't do this and we can't do that, that's a whole nother story. But once we start going from that negative mindset into that positive mindset, that creates a whole nother situation. And that's what we really need to know, that we have the ability to really make some things happen. And you have something that is within you that can really make these things come about. And that is one thing, the knowledge of knowing that these are things that we can do. Because as long as we stay stuck in a situation where we cannot really start to see, our true reality, then that's going to limit us to be able to really break free of a lot of, poverty and other problems that are facing us. But, when you really look at the fact of what God had said, and that was like really powerful, he said, you are made in the likeness and image of God. And that is not a weak or a joke situation that God said. He was telling us as a people that we are made in his likeness and image. And being that we are, we do have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things. But when we're dealing with these kind of things, how can we deal with it if we don't even know that these are things that God said? And unfortunately, in the Bible, these are things that were said, but our people don't even know about. And that's the sad part about it. We definitely need to know about it. And in knowing about it, these are things that can really open the door for us to be able to really bring about some positive, awesome, and amazing change in our lives. But again, knowing it and then utilizing the truth of it is what is the most important part of it. Because just to say, yeah, I heard of that before. Yeah, you may have said you've heard of it, but what have you done with it? And unfortunately for most of our people, even if the majority of them don't even know that that's something that God even said, that we're made in his likeness and made in his image. That's one thing. The second thing is, what have we done with it to utilize it as a source of power that can empower us and change us to be very successful and to be someone that does not have to remain stuck in the dungeon of poverty? And these are things that we can awaken ourselves to and start to deal with. But the big part of the problem is that in dealing with this, we have to really start to awaken ourselves to know that once we start to deal with opening our minds and hearts to what God has said and even what Jesus said, then these are things that can change our lives. But if we don't deal with that, it's just something that we heard and we just ignore it after we hear it, then that's not going to really have any kind of impact on bringing that ability to know who we are and know that we can definitely bring about positive change in our lives through that information that I just shared with you. And that's very, very important. But that's the thing. Listening to this and knowing that it is real is one thing, but the bottom line is doing something even more important. Because when this was something that I was introduced to by the Lord and by Jesus, like I said, it blew my mind because I heard about it and I said, wow, this is deep. God said that we're made in his likeness and image. I said, wow. And then even another very powerful statement that was said in the Bible that is not being taught in the churches or anything like that, and that's another thing that's really hurtful to see. Here we are having churches around the country, but very few if any, are really talking about the fact that we are sons and daughters of God, that are spiritual beings that have the ability to do great, awesome, and amazing things like Jesus did. And one of the things you say, what? Like Jesus did? What are you talking about? Jesus said in the Bible, he said, the things I do, you can do, and even more. And that is something that blew my mind. Because when I heard that, I said, wow, you mean to tell me that we could do things like unto Jesus did? And that he did some great, awesome, and amazing things. He resurrected the dead through water. He disappeared and reappeared. He helped the sick and the dying. He helped people that were blind get their vision back. He helped the deaf get their hearing back. He did a whole bunch of wonderful and amazing things. But the bottom line is, with all of those awesome and amazing things that he did, you know, we have the ability to do some of those same things that he did and possibly even more? Really? Wow. And I checked into that. And when I checked into it, I was like, wow, let me check and see if this is something like they're saying that is for real. Because the bottom line is, I mean, it's in the Bible. And this is something that came out of Jesus's mouth. And this is something that came out of Lord Jehovah's mouth. So I don't believe that God was lying, and I don't believe that Jesus was lying. So 9 out of 10, these are things that we actually are, you know. But the bottom line is, if we are, I would like to see some of the results of this so I'll know for sure that this is real. Anyway, what I did from there, I checked into it. And when I say I checked into it, I went to go and find out if I could even be a spiritual healer, because, you know, that's what Jesus was. He was a spiritual healer, and, you know, even more, he was the Son of God. But anyway, in checking into those things to try to see if this was something that could happen, I tried to see if I could really heal the lives of people that were in trouble, whether it was physical pain, whether it was blindness, whether it was hearing, a lot of different problems that people had. I said, you know what? Jesus said I could do these things like he did, so let me give it a shot. And I gave it a shot, and it took a while for me to actually start to see the fact that I had that ability and that it was real. Jesus wasn't just talking out the side of his mouth, nor was Lord Jehovah, the supreme Lord of the universe. He wasn't talking out the side of his mouth either. He was telling the absolute truth of God, that we are made in his likeness and image. Because when I found myself actually healing the blind and giving them their vision back, when I actually found myself healing the deaf and giving the deaf their hearing back, when I actually found myself saving the lives of people who were on their deathbeds and were about to die, I was really glad to see that. But I also knew that it came not just through me doing it. It came through God's grace and through Jesus' grace, where they allowed me to actually tap into my spiritual power and ability to do these kind of things. And also, these are things that we can do financially for ourselves in regards to manifesting wealth. And these are things that we can do for our brothers and sisters who are in need. But the bottom line is, how can we do these things, number one, if we're going to hear it and it goes in one ear and comes out the other and we totally ignore it? The other side of it that's really important is, once we do say, you know what this brother said sounds like something that could really be a benefit to us, I need to really take a serious look at this and see if this is something that I can do that will really have a huge impact on being a blessing in my life. And that's where we come in. Can you start to open your mind and heart to the fact that you are a son and daughter of God? And some of us, you know, don't have a problem with acknowledging that. But the other part of it is, are you going to put it to a test and test it out yourself as well? And the other side of it is that very important is being in oneness with God and being in oneness with Jesus so that they have no problem with allowing you to be able to receive those blessings of being able to do these types of things. So these are things that we definitely can do. And these are things that we have the ability to do, but the only problem is we do not actually deal with this from a positive perspective of seeing ourselves as being sons and daughters of God. And being that we don't, you know, that's what keeps us in the situation that we see the negativity in our community. And like I said before, the funny thing about it, even on this radio show, I was, you know, talking about this. And I also, you know, shared with people one of the things that happened. Because in ending the gang wars, one of the very powerful things that came our way was the 30% of the youth that we were dealing with, that we could not get them out of the gang wars because they wanted to stay in there and keep shooting and killing each other and stealing, you know, stuff from people in our community and selling drugs and all kind of crazy stuff. But the bottom line was that in us dealing with all of that negativity, we ended up, you know, asking God to help us to find a way to end it because we couldn't figure out how we could really get these brothers that did not want to leave the gang wars to come out. And the crazy thing about it is they were like saying, what? You know, I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Harlem or in Brooklyn. I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Mount Vernon. I'm in the biggest and baddest gang in Yonkers. What are you talking about? You want me to leave this? We just finished defeating about three different gangs, and we're forcing them to sell drugs for us. You know, they're getting the little crumbs off the table, but we're getting the majority of the money. And the thing about it, which is good, we're making some serious money now. So, and you want us to leave the gang? Yeah, I ain't going to do that. And that was the thing. At that time period, we did have youth that were in the gang and that were doing a lot of crazy things because they saw themselves making money. And if 20 or 30 kids in addition were going to be killed, it didn't make a difference to them. Bottom line was they wanted to fill their wallet with as much money as they could get. And unfortunately, that was their focus. So when we were talking to them about how important it was to end these gang wars and they should come out of these gangs, the bottom line was that they were in the mentality that, well, you got to be crazy, man. We're making good money now. We don't want to hear that crap you're talking about coming out of these gangs. So what we were saying to them was just going in one ear and coming out of the other. And that's where it really got us frustrated because it didn't make a difference who spoke with them. You know, the speakers, whether they were ex-gangbanger, whether it was a person who was a millionaire that, you know, was telling them they could do things from a more positive perspective, whether it's getting into real estate or getting into, you know, a cryptocurrency or other things that they could do. The bottom line was they wanted to stay where they were because they saw the money coming in and they didn't want to go into some other type of situation and then, you know, not be able to make the same amount of money or didn't want to try it because it was something new to them. But right now, that drug arena was something that was really looking good to them. But anyway, we kept on asking the Lord to please show us another way to get rid of this madness because in dealing with this, this was something that was crazy and it was destroying our community. The good thing about it, our people saw this happening, you know, and God actually said to us, you know what? We do have an opportunity to send your way. And God did. He actually, through Jesus, shared with us a spiritual formula that we could use to end the gang wars. And in that happening, that offered us the opportunity to get those youth who were stuck in Satan's mindset of wanting to sell drugs, wanting to kill each other, hating each other, did not feel anything wrong with killing one another. They felt good about it because they were making money out of it. So all of these negative things that were going on that they were doing, they did not want to come out of. But the beautiful thing about it was Jesus said, hey, listen, if you guys will utilize the spiritual formula I gave you, all I can say to you is that what will happen is I will help you to end the gang war. But I will reach into their minds and hearts and pull out all of that evil and wickedness and negative stuff that they are stuck in right now. But you guys need to actually utilize this formula and see what you could do through your prayer and your meditation. And once you guys really stay focused on this, you're going to see some positive results come about. And I said, wow, that really sounds great. You know, let's see what we could do with that. We're going to give this more than a try. We're going to see about making this happen. This sounds wonderful. Anyway, when we did utilize that spiritual formula of God and of Jesus, what ended up happening was that 2 weeks after we utilized that in our different meditation groups that we had in the school, we sat down with the youth and told them, please don't go back to your principal or to your teachers in your school and tell them that we have you focusing on the spiritual power of God and Jesus to end the mindset of these negative knuckleheads that are stuck in the energy of actually wanting to kill, sell drugs, and all this other crazy stuff that they were doing. You know, the thing, good thing about it was that that spiritual formula cleansed their minds and cleansed their hearts so that they no longer had the desire to be stuck in that negative mindset. And the beautiful thing about that, they came out of the gang and they stopped the gang war because they no longer had the desire to deal with that. And that was seriously a miracle. And I was very thankful to see that thing. Right now, we can definitely see what we can do at this time with that same spiritual formula to bring about some positive change. But the bottom line is, I know some people, they're saying, no, you know, I don't believe that can work. You know, you may have done that in the past, but that can't happen at the present. And I understand, you know, how that can happen, because basically when you're dealing with something like this, we already have the actual physical proof to show that these were things that really did happen. It wasn't just something that I'm just saying to make up and to tell a lie that, you know, makes me look good. Because the bottom line is, the reason why I'm sharing this is not to make me look good, but it's to bring our people together in spiritual unity so that we can do some things to change and be a blessing to our community. But the bottom line is, our people need to at least be motivated to want to get involved with it. But if we're going to stay stuck in Satan's mindset of, no, no, brother, I don't care what you say about this. No, this can never work and this will never happen. And I know this is some jive and some junk, because God does not have the power, nor does Jesus have the power to bring about this type of change. And you ain't got no proof to show nothing like this. So even when you do have the proof to show senators, congressmen, mayors, superintendents of schools and principals of schools were actually to show you that they actually were giving you awards for ending the gang wars, and they were giving you awards to let you know that they thanked you for this, you know, which would have been really excellent. Well, the icing on the cake to add on to that was that they were going to give you money and pay you for being able to do this. But that was a whole other side of the story. They felt that as far as they were concerned, they were not going to give you a dime, a penny, or a nickel, you know, in regards to the fact that you helped to save a lot of these kids' lives. But the bottom line was just like, what? You mean tell me if you actually put in a huge amount of time that was focused on ending these gang wars, that you mean to tell me that you shouldn't get a dime, penny, or nickel out of doing this? Why don't you, you know, give us some money on dealing with this? But no, they didn't want to do it. They didn't want to give up any money. They didn't want to assist you financially at all. But they did acknowledge what you just achieved, and that's one of the reasons why they gave these awards to us. But, you know, the funny thing about it, even after you get the award, some people, out of jealousy and anger to see a black person that actually stopped the gang wars at a particular time period, this was back in 2010, but they still can be angry and upset with you on that. And they still say, no, brother, you know, I don't care if you got a million awards. It don't mean nothing to me. That means that was still a bunch of crap and you didn't do nothing. And you still got people to say that it didn't happen, even though senators, congressmen, and mayors, and superintendents of schools, county legislators, all these different people gave you awards on this. And it wasn't a joke. It was a reality, but the sadness about it was that you were in a situation where people, unfortunately, in our community, many of them, instead of acknowledging what you have done, they would rather say that it never did come through and that, you know, it doesn't make a difference whether you have a million or billion awards. You know, the bottom line is that we don't want to acknowledge that you did it. So that's one thing. And being that they're saying that you didn't do it, they're also trying to say that you won't have the sad part about it, because our people need to come together in spiritual unity and to acknowledge that we have the ability to do these great and wonderful things, working with each other and working with God and Jesus. And as we work with God and Jesus, that door can open up again for us to save the lives of our youth. That door can open up where we can manifest wealth. That door can open up where we can definitely turn a lot of the negative things around in our community. And to show you that, even though we do have some Uncle Tom brothers and sisters that do not want to be a part of this, do not want to believe it, all they want to do is put up brick walls of fear and doubt that any of this could ever exist. The other side of it is that we even had white people that were coming on our radio show saying, hey, you know what? If you keep talking about this, we're going to put your ass in jail. Not only are we going to put your ass in jail, but if you talk again about the fact that Jesus was a black man, you know what we're going to do? We're going to have racist groups that will actually reach out to you and kill your ass. So white people even know, after they check into these things, that these are things that actually happen. Problem is, they don't want it to happen again. They will be glad to see thousands and hundreds of our youth around the country being killed by them killing and shooting, you know, just destroying each other's lives. But if you come up with a solution on how you can end all of this, they're going to be pissed off with you and even threaten your life so that you will not be able to fulfill what you're trying to do as far as ending the gang wars, not only in New York, but nationwide. And for you to actually even be wanting to do something like that, these guys are here to tell you, listen, if you want to try to do something like this and acknowledge your people into awakening them to the fact that they are true sons and daughters of God that can actually accomplish great, awesome, and amazing things like Jesus did, you know what? Kill your ass. And these are things that, even though it has been a threat to me, the bottom line is I know God sent me here to actually be able to share this ability with our people. And I feel that it is a bad thing that these white racist folks are coming at me, telling me that they're going to kill me or throw me in jail. But at the same time, I know that there's no legal portion of this that's at stake where you're going to be able to tell me that because I'm sharing this with my people, I've committed a crime. That doesn't even make any sense, even though that's what they're saying, it's a crime. It's a crime to them because they don't want you to stop the murdering of your people. That's a crime to them. They want to see as much murdering as they can. That's one of the reasons why they've even allowed guns now to be easily purchased and bought by anyone. Even if you have a track record of, you know, murdering and all kind of crazy things, the bottom line is they're not putting that out there anymore. You got to get a permit or a license for a gun like you used to, and then they're going to check on your background and all of that. Now all you have to do is put the money up on the table at a gun store, and you can buy the gun. Whereas before, it was, you know, restrictions there that if you had a terrible background where you were in jail and you shot somebody in the past and you had done, you know, a number of different things that, like stealing, you know, from a store with a gun or something crazy like that, then 9 out of 10, you weren't going to be able to get the ability to do these kind of things. But the bottom line is now all of that has been erased, and regardless of your background, regardless of, you know, what your intentions are, once you get these guns, the bottom line is you can easily get them. And these are things that we need to stop as well, because those restrictions need to go back up again. Otherwise, our youth and other adults that are in that negative mindset of being glad to get these guns so they could really kill each other and all steal from each other and do a whole lot of crazy things are now on the table, and we need to stop that craziness. But anyway, that's where we come in, where we can really start to look at doing what we know we can do, because we have the ability to do it. But the problem is we've been brainwashed by Satan into believing that we don't have the ability to do any of these things. And of course, that makes some people feel that they have the ability to just stay stuck in poverty, stay stuck in a community where your kids are killing each other. But no, you do not have to stay stuck in poverty. You do not have to stay stuck in a situation where there's murdering going on amongst your kids or even your adults. The bottom line is we can end all of that, but you have to believe it in order to achieve it. Because if you're going to say, no, these are things that, you know, we don't have the ability to do, and you're going to acknowledge with Satan that, yes, these are things that we're just stuck in and we can't do anything about it, then that's one thing, but that's not true at all. But we're not really looking for people like that to work with that can't acknowledge it. We're looking at people that really do want to see what they can do to bring some positive things about. Because our people deserve for our youth, instead of going into jail or into an early grave, they need to be going into starting their own businesses. They need to be going into creating money from a positive aspect, an illegal aspect, instead of an illegal aspect, where they're getting caught up into selling drugs and, you know, doing other crazy things, stealing from stores and from people when they see you on the street and all that kind of stuff. You don't need to have that going on in our community. But the bottom line is we need to utilize that spiritual formula of Jesus, and in utilizing it, we can bring about the positive change. And like I said, I understand how there are some, unfortunately, brothers and sisters that do not believe that these are things that we can do or that we should do. Because I had a sister come up to me one day and told me that, hey, why would you, even though you got all these awards and everything, why would you actually end the gang wars? It doesn't make any sense. You should have allowed these kids to keep killing themselves, because if that's their karma, that they want to buy guns and shoot and kill each other and do crazy stuff like that, then they deserve to get the karma back on them for doing that. And that means that they're going to go to jail or end up in a graveyard, and that's what they should get for that. And I said, what? Are you kidding? You are a woman, and you're going to tell me that you don't, the lives of our children don't even value anything? They're not worthy of even living a positive life, even though they got stuck into that negativity, that means you should, instead of pulling them out of the negativity, you should just let them go on and kill each other and get caught up into all of that madness? That doesn't even make any sense. What are you talking about? She said, no, what you're doing is crazy. You should not try to stop killing, allowing our kids to stop killing each other. You should allow them to go ahead and do what they want to do. And if that's what they want to do, let them do it. That's their karma. And I said, wow, I couldn't even believe that that sister came out of her mouth and said something crazy like that to me. And, you know, I've heard it from brothers as well, that we should not even worry about that. If they want to act crazy and get caught up into doing these kind of crazy things in our community, let them do it. Who cares? If they end up in early graves, that's what they're supposed to get. And I couldn't even believe that coming from brothers or sisters. But the bottom line is that for those of you that do think the lives of our children do matter, then we need to do something about this, because we cannot sit back and ignore what's going on. And don't worry about it, whether white racists want to kill you because you want to save the lives of your children. That doesn't even make any sense. That we should say, oh, shoot, Master Charlie told us that we better not do nothing to help our kids, or he's going to kill us. So I'm just going to sit on the sideline and not do nothing because Master Charlie is telling us we better chill out. And that's ridiculous to listen to those lies of Satan that is saying that we should not want to help our kids, whether it's coming from black people or whether it's coming from white people. We need to step up to the plate and see what we can do to save the lives of our. Like I said, you're going to find, unfortunately, Uncle Tom, blacks and brothers and sisters that actually do feel that we should have nothing to do with saving the lives of our kids, but we should. And the other piece is, regardless of whether whites are talking about murdering us because we want to help our people, which doesn't make any sense, but even, you know, when you look at it from the history of our people, when Martin Luther King, you know, was out there doing his best and a great and wonderful opportunities that he brought on the table through the civil rights, and he spoke with Kennedy at three different occasions, and Kennedy was willing to talk with him, which was a good thing. But the bottom line was, when he spoke with him, he was trying to say, come on, man, you guys are treating us like crap, man. Come on, stop treating us in such a terrible, disrespectful way. Why can't we have the same rights that you guys have in this country? You know, right now we can't go into stores, we can't go into restaurants, we can't go to a hotel, our children can't go into colleges or, you know, high schools or anything like that with you guys. You know, we've been banded out of all of that, and it doesn't even make any sense. I could see if we had done some terrible thing to, you know, to you, then that would be different. But being that we're not in that type of situation, you know, one of the things that we should be doing right now is trying to help our people to come up with ways in which we can really see what we can do to bring about some positive change in our situation that we see right now in our community, whether it be with our youth or whether it be with dealing with our financial situation. But these are things that are very important, and that, you know, our folks really need to know that we have the ability to do these things, to end these problems, instead of being victims of watching our children die. And we do not need to have Tom brothers and sisters that are telling us that these are things that they can never happen, but these are things that can happen. And that is what's really important. You know, so anyway, all I can say at this point is if anyone has any kind of response on what has been said thus far, you know, definitely let me know, because these are things that our people definitely need to know. It's not even a thing that, it's not a situation where we can just ignore this and just let the murdering of our kids or the poverty of our people just be ignored and just say, you know, this is the kind of community that we're in, so there's nothing we could do about this. But that's a lie. There's things that we can do about it, but we just need to know if there's anyone out there at this point that has any comments on, you know, what we just spoke on. And if so, definitely give us some feedback on it, and we will be glad to hear what you guys have to say in regards to dealing with this.
We can open up 469-512. 512, mic is open.
Yeah, I'm here. This is Thomas Robinson, a.k.a. the Brother T. Smooth from Smooth Town Entertainment.
I'm sitting here listening, and I agree 100% with you. Like, we need to redirect our energy into a positive space where our youth are back to understanding the power of unity amongst our own people. Because if you think back to around 82, 83, when the crack epidemic hit and the government decided they were going to change the law and allow children to have their parents locked up whenever they felt disrespected for being chastised, that they were able to have their parents arrested. I think that's where everything took a turn for the worst. Because at that point, children decided they were going to raise themselves and allow the streets to be the way that they make their money. No longer did they want to go to school. No longer did they have positive dreams and aspirations of being lawyers, doctors, or possibly presidents, but everybody decided they wanted to be hardcore rappers and gangsters. And through that ideology, it changed the way the world looked at things. So the parents became afraid of their children because they're afraid of the law. So they just allowed their children to do what they wanted to do. So the way I look at things is, had parents been strong enough to know their rights and to understand the law, and that the law is limited to what people allow, I think we would have still been in control of how our people were to elevate, and many of us would not have sold out the way the world has changed today. So today, when I look, I do consulting as well. So when I'm talking to a lot of these young rappers, you know, they have a false view of things. Like, they think, oh, I'll make a hit song and I'm going to be rich and famous. And they don't realize what the path is for becoming famous.
You wasn't on the radio show? Yeah, it's still on. It's all about now.
Well, so, my brother, I do appreciate that, what you're saying, because that's really true. You know, that was a bill that was passed to definitely create limitations for adults to chastise our kids once you are doing things that are wrong, whether it's selling drugs, whether it's doing other crazy things that are going on, joining into these gangs and, you know, stealing from stores, or, you know, not a number of negative things that were being done by our youth. But the bottom line was, with that being a law, if our kids knew about it, they, like you said, they could report their parents to the police and actually have them thrown in jail because of that, which is ridiculous, you know. I mean, how can you have a child and then see them doing wrong things that they're doing in life, and then you can't even give them a spanking or anything? Because if you do give them a spanking, what's going to happen is you're going to be thrown in jail. That's ridiculous. So you're 100% right on that, brother. That was something that was definitely ridiculous. But again, they knew that if that was going to be done, it was going to have a huge impact on our kids. And that's what they really wanted to see happen. Because 9 out of 10, if a white youngster reported their parents, they wasn't going to jail. But if it was happening with a youngster that was black, reported a black parent, then 9 out of 10, that was something that could happen against that parent. And that was one of the sad and crazy things that, you know, existed in the two types of situations that existed. Because even back in the 60s, when, you know, drugs were being flooded into our community, one of the crazy things about it, if a white person was caught as a druggie and had drugs on him in his coat or jacket or pants, whatever, the bottom line is he was going to be brought to a rehab center to see if they could help him to no longer be a druggie. But if a black person was caught with drugs, that person was going to be thrown in jail. And that's the way that it worked for us. So you have two sides of the system that shows that, you know, if you're black, 9 out of 10, you're going to be thrown in jail for dealing with that. But if you're white, they did have rehab, you know, centers. And that was one of the things. When the drugs started to pour also from our community and it started pouring into the black community, I mean, in the white community as well, that's when they started these rehab centers. But when it was just our people that were druggies because they were pouring, you know, all of these drugs into our community, that's when you started to see that, you know, our people that were getting caught up in being drug addicts and stuff, they were thrown into jail. They weren't thrown into rehab centers. So unfortunately, in this society, there are a number of things that are going on that shouldn't be. And one of them is that the way that white people are being dealt with is one way, and the way that black people are being dealt with is another way by this so-called justice system, which is not just, it's racist. And that's one of the terrible things about this justice system. It's something that deals with our people from a very negative perspective. And that's one of the reasons why, even with racist police officers, you know, the reason why they can kill 5 or 10 black people is because the justice system doesn't have any problem with them doing that, you know. And for them to go and come back, you know, kill somebody and then come back another time or a month or a few weeks later and kill somebody else, they can do these kind of things and get away with it because it's a white police officer killing a black person. And it just doesn't make any sense many times when you have a black person that doesn't even have a gun on them, but later on, after they kill that, you know, black person, they put a gun in their hand and say, okay, you know, this person was shooting at me. Look, you see that gun? You know, I just took a picture of him. You see that gun in his hand? Yeah, well, because he was getting ready to shoot at me, I had to see it in front. But that person didn't even have a gun. But the bottom line is that because, you know, the system is the way it is, they're not going to do any, like, really serious investigation on what that white police officer had to say. But the bottom line is, he's going to walk away without having to spend a day, an hour, a week, or a year in jail for killing that black person. And that's the thing. When the justice system
is set up in such a corrupt and negative way towards our people, it really empowers them to come back over and over again and kill our people. So that's a negative thing. But I even remember when they asked good old President Trumpity Dumpity, you know, to come and speak about after there was about 3 or 4 incidents where white police officers had killed, you know, black people. And they asked him what he felt about that. And he said, do you think that this is something where these police officers need to be told that they should not be doing this and that this is a wrong thing for, you know, white police officers to do, keep killing black people? And he said, no, no, that's not a problem. But the problem is that you have these guys, black people, they have guns and they're getting ready to kill our people. And because they're getting ready to kill our police officers, our people, police officers have to defend themselves. And that's the reason why they're killing them. You know, so he came up with some crazy excuse on why they felt that it was okay for them to continue killing our people because they never do anything wrong. And basically, for them to kill black people, it always is an excuse that their people are getting ready to kill our people, you know, regardless. And the reason why their people are getting ready to kill our people regardless is because they know they have a justice system that will not try to put them in a situation where they have to go to jail. And being that they know that they have that privilege to do it that way, they don't have a problem with that. And to even have at that time when Trump was there as president and was there defending, you know, these racist white police officers that were killing our people, that even gave them more of an ability to do that. So now we have Biden in office, and, you know, it creates somewhat of a different situation, but at the same time, it hasn't stopped the situation. You know, we still have some, you know, this, unfortunately, these racist white police officers killing our people. And I even had a situation myself where I was just walking my dog in a park, which is really crazy. I mean, I didn't know that walking the dog in a park with these racist white police officers were going to come out and tell you that you were doing something wrong. And they told me that it wasn't so much me doing something wrong, but somebody had just robbed a delicatessen around the corner, and that person that robbed the delicatessen had a dog. So I said, okay, well, I mean, what makes you think I'm just going to be walking my dog through the park if I just robbed a delicatessen? If I robbed a delicatessen, I would be headed to my house. I would be headed to somebody else's house where me and my dog can go in there and hide out or something. But for me to just walk through the park like, yeah, you know, if you're walking the dog in the park like, you know, you haven't done anything wrong, what makes you think I would do that? And they said, no, no, where were you for the last half hour? That's what they asked me. And I said, wow. I mean, where was I for the last half hour? I said, well, I'll be honest with you, I was up on that hill up there by the playground where all the kids are with their parents and stuff. And basically what ended up happening, I was up there, I passed by the playground, and I saw all of this mail that was ripped up and everything, and it was all scattered on the ground. But the beautiful thing about this park was that these guys, whoever were the people that were dealing with it, they cut the hedges, they planted flowers in here. It really looked beautiful in this park at that time. And I was like saying, wow, man, this is crazy to turn this beautiful park into looking like a terrible, you know, dump yard now, because these knuckleheads went into the projects across the street and they broke into those projects and stole all of this mail out of there. And then after they stole the mail out, they were looking for credit cards and checks so they could utilize those credit cards and checks to see if they could steal some money out of these people's, you know, pocket. Anyway, make a long story short, what happened with that, I told them that, and I told them that I cleaned up that up there, and I put it into a plastic bag because I took the plastic bag out of the garbage can that was in the playground, and then I filled it up with all this ripped up mail. And the mail that wasn't ripped up, I put that under my arm because when I left the park, I was going to put that mail into one of the mailboxes out on the street so that hopefully these guys were going to mail it back to the people that had that stolen from their mailbox. Anyway, make a long story short, after I did that and explained that to them, I said, well, we could go up there and you could ask some of the parents that are still up there, because that was about a half an hour ago when I was up there. And the funny thing about it is some of them I know are still up there, even though there might, be, just only two parents or even just one parent that's still up there now in the park playground. You know, you could ask that one that saw me up there during that time period, and 9 out of 10, there would be no problem because they would justify the fact that I was up there at that time for the last half hour dealing with that. And that's when the sergeant said, no, no, I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going up to that park, to that playground up into that parking area there. No, I'm not going to do that. And I was like, what? You're not going to do that? I said, why not? He said, you heard me. And then one of them says, Sarge, we're down in the valley area here in this park, and there's no witnesses around here. We could kill this nigga and get away with it. And I said, what? You should kill me? What did I do wrong? And then the other one said, out of the four, he said, Sarge, I got my ankle gun on me. And we could say that, the reason why we shot and killed him was because he shot at us first. And I just put my ankle gun in his hand after we kill him, and that will give us the ability to show proof that he was getting ready to try to kill us. And I said, what? I couldn't even believe these guys were saying this kind of crazy stuff. But anyway, make a long story short, what happened from there, that's when the sergeant said, you know what? That sounds like some really good ideas, you guys. Let's get into a little huddle here, and we'll discuss this further. And then they got into a little huddle with each other, and, they started talking about how they were going to kill me. But the bottom line was, while they were doing that, the first thought that came to my mind was, yo, man, you need to run for it. Because if you run for it, you'll probably be able to get away. And then I said to myself, no, no way that all four of them are going to be shooting at me while I try to run away, and all four of them are going to be able to actually miss me. I said, maybe one or two of them out of the four might be able to miss me, but the other two are probably going to put 8 to 10 bullets in my back, and I don't even want to deal with that. So I said, no. I said, you know what? Let me seek help from the Lord, because God has the last word to say on this. Even though Satan is saying that your time has come for you to have your life ended right now, and it's about to happen in the next couple of minutes after these guys finish with their huddle that they're talking about, how they're going to kill you and how they're going to make sure that even though they kill you, that even if there's no witnesses down here or anything, that they can get away with that real easy. And I was like, wow. I said, let me speak with the Lord. And I said, Lord, please, if you could allow a miracle to happen right now, I would really appreciate it, because the way that these knuckleheads are acting, I'm going to be dead in the next couple of minutes. But I said, Lord, if you could share a blessing or a miracle with me right now, I would really appreciate it. And right after I said that, they came out of their huddle, And the one that was saying, Sarge, we're down here in this valley area and there's no witness around. We could kill this nigga and get away with it. And that's when they all raised their guns up at me after they came up out of the huddle. And then that same guy said, smart nigga, it's your time to go. And I said, wow. Again, I said, Lord, please. Spare a miracle right now. Otherwise, I'm going to be out of this body. And then what happened from there, that's when the two black police officers came running down the hill. And when they did come running down the hill, they were asking, Sarge, is this the guy that robbed the delicatessen? And I said, no, I didn't rob the delicatessen, but these guys were lying. And they're over here knowing that I didn't do it, but they're getting ready to kill me for no reason. And he said, Sarge, you getting ready to kill him for no reason? And that's when the Sarge came out. He said, no, we were going to let him go, and we were going to just tap him down and see if he had drugs on him or any guns on him or whether he had that stolen money on him or anything like that. But if he didn't have that on him, we were going to just let him go. Anyway, that's when I said, no, man, these guys were really getting ready to kill me. They were just in the process, and you guys showed up just at the right time. Otherwise, I would have been dead. And, you know, that's when the Sarge came up to me with his gun, because the rest of them put their guns down. Now that they saw the two black police officers there as witnesses, that's when the actual sergeant came up to me with the gun and put it up to my head and was saying, you better shut up. If you say anything else about how we were going about to kill you, you're going to be in big trouble. And I mean, seriously big trouble. And I said, wow. I said, you know what? I better shut up. This guy looks like he's angry and that he's getting ready to pull this trigger. So I said, you know what? I'm going to shut up. Anyway, after that, one of them came up to me and patted me down to see if I had any guns or any drugs or any, you know, stolen money on me or anything crazy like that. But the bottom line is they checked and they saw nothing there. And after they saw that there was nothing there, which they already knew that there wasn't, but they just wanted to, you know, say, hey, we got a way where we could kill this guy. This guy had an ankle gun on him. He's going to put in my hand after they shot and killed me and all kind of crazy. So anyway, make a long story short with that, what happened with that was, you know, they did let me go after they checked and found that there was nothing there where there was any illegal, you know, stuff that I had on me. And after they saw that, they let me go. I went up to one of the black police officers and I said, well, if you did not show up with your partner there coming down the hill, you know, at that exact time that you came down, a few minutes later, if you had showed up 5 or 10 minutes later, all you would have seen was me on the ground with about 10 or 20 bullets in me from these guys shooting and killing me. But I'm really glad that the Lord sent you and you showed up as a miracle just at the right time. And that's when, you know, that brother said to me, he said, no, brother, I definitely believe what you're saying, because this has happened in our community many times where our people have been killed by white police officers. So, no, I believe you. And I said, yeah, brother, I'm really glad you showed up at the right time. And right after I said that, I ran up the hill. So I didn't know whether that sergeant was going to come up to me with his gun again if he heard the conversation that I was having with that brother. But anyway, the bottom line was that was something that I even experienced, that these guys would definitely kill our people and then come up with all kind of lies. And unfortunately, the majority of the judges will agree with them and will not have any investigation to see if this gun in your hand after they killed you was your gun or whether it was one of their guns. No, they don't even check into nothing like that. They just let that go and go along with the white police officer's word, because the white police officer is supposed to be someone that they're supposed to be able to trust their word, regardless of whether even they were witnesses there. If there was black witnesses outside of those police officers, 9 out of 10, they wouldn't even hear anything that they had to say. They would just say, nah, man, you know, the white police officers are right and you guys are lying. And that's what they would do. They would still kill a black person and walk away with that opportunity, because the way that the system is set up against our people. And all I could say is, again, Lord, I do thank you for saving my life, because if you didn't save my life like that, I would have been dead a while back. That was really around 2008 when that happened. And funny thing about it was, you know, 6 to 9 months later after that situation occurred, I was in a situation where I actually was working on seeing what we could do to end the gang wars. And we just started our group because a good friend of mine, one of my best friends, his child was, you know, his youth was, his son actually, was gunned down and killed in the gang war. And that was really crazy too. So when I went to his funeral, that's when the Lord told me that I need to get involved with this and see what I can do, because I will be able to put an end to this situation. And I was really glad to see that the Lord was saying that with me, and with me dealing with that, you know, we did get some good results, which was really good. But this is something that, again, we need to deal with, whether it's white, racist police officers killing our people, whether it's our youth killing each other, or even whether it's our adults killing each other, or even killing our youth. The bottom line is that regardless, we need to stop the murdering in our community, because it doesn't need to exist. But when we ignore it and just say, well, you know, if they're going to kill each other, the kids, or if the adults are going to do that, then that's their karma to just let them do that. You know, whatever's going to come back on them for doing that, that's what they deserve. That's crazy. You know, we don't need to have that. But what we do need to have is black schools in our community. We need to have community centers that can teach our kids to respect each other, to care for each other, to want to help each other, and to know that we deserve for our youth as well as our adults to live a positive and wonderful life. But the bottom line is, if you are stuck in the mindset of Satan where you're not supposed to believe that you can even live a positive life, then you don't even need to deal with trying to do anything positive. And that was one of the things in dealing with a lot of the kids that were in the gangs when we talked to them. A lot of them were 16, 17, 15 years old. And they said, man, I don't even think I'm going to live to be 21 or 20 years old. I'm probably going to get killed before that time period. But anyway, I don't really care, you know, if I stay in the gangs or not. But 9 out of 10, I'm not even going to live to be 21. And I was like, wow. It was crazy to hear those conversations, but they already saw themselves from a very negative mindset that they weren't even going to be, you know, living too long, and that they were going to be in early grave. But these are things that we need to do to overcome this negativity. We need to play a part where we are going to show, as it said in the ancient, you know, affirmation, you know, that was said by the Africans. It says it takes a village to raise a child. And the reason why it said that is because it's important for you to recognize that that child who's been thrown in jail, that child who's a druggie on the corner, that child that's in a gang and just ended up killing two or three people, all of these different kids that are caught up into all of this negative stuff, their lives do matter. And we can turn their minds around so that they can stop all of this madness. We know we can do it from a spiritual perspective, and we know we can do it from a physical perspective. But the bottom line is that we need to get out here and see what we can do to bring some positive change about. Because right now, with all of this negativity, we cannot ignore it any longer and just complain about it. We need to do something about it. So once again, if anybody has anything to say on this, you know, any feedback on this, please do so.
We got 1111 kept coming back. Are you there? Your mic is open. Okay, we have 803-729. Mic is open.
Mike? Hey, I think God, I agree with everything the man of God say, But talking about the youth need love. They need love. They already know what they're doing. Just like Jesus, he sat with the sinners. He ate with the sinners. And before Jesus came in our life, before he came, died on the cross, if it wasn't for Jesus dying on the cross, we all would have been still out there on the streets. So what I want to say today about the youth, the drug dealers, the gang bangers, it starts in the home. You know, I had about 10 people today come to the service today, and these were young people. And they came back to the service because they needed a word from God. You know, that's why the young people don't want to come to the churches, because the older people knocks them down. They already know what they're doing. You know, all they want you to do is show them love. Can you show them love? See, I'm an old school mother, and I beat my kids. I didn't care what the cops say. I didn't care what BS say, because I told them. They weren't the ones that had them babies. I did. And that's what's wrong with society today. The mothers are scared of their kids. You know, back in the days, the neighbor could beat us. My mother could beat us. The teacher can beat us. But you can't do that now, because if a teacher beat the child, the mother's coming to fight the teacher. But I mean, you got to understand, why do people get in gangs? I can tell you why people get in gangs. Things that happen to them. People put them down, like their mother or their father, tell them they never amount to nothing. But them the ones God use. Them the ones God make a man and woman of God. See, me, I don't look at them like gang bangers or drug dealers. I look at them like men and women of God. And today when we had service, it was about 10 young men. Before I left home today, I said, Lord, let a drug dealer come. Let a gang banger come. Let them come. And it was 10 of them that came, and they heard the word. Because I don't knock them, I show them love. And the Bible said love covers a multitude of sin. You got to love them. In spite of what they do, you still love them. You don't know what's going on with a child's mind. See, you got to sit down and talk to your kids. Sometimes the parents don't want to sit down and talk to their children. I can speak on it. I got a son right now, locked up in jail right now for something he didn't do, but he's still in there. But I thank God. And then on this week, my nephew told me today that the cops had his feet on his neck, that he couldn't breathe. But God spared his life. So that's why I don't look down on the kids, because they are somebody. They somebody that you need to reach. While the young man go out there and be a mentor for the children. It's nothing here for these youth to do. So if they ain't got nothing to do, what they gonna do? They gonna go on the street and sell drugs, because they don't have no job. They don't have no program. They're not teaching them nothing in the school about black people. Because the kids, the youth is our future. God is a black, I mean, Jesus is a black man. So that's why I don't knock down on the youth. Because them youth can teach you something. Even though they're on the street, but they can still teach you something. Sometimes you got to stop being so holy than thou that you never did nothing. That's one thing about me. I never forget where I came from. I used to be a gangbanger. I used to be a drug dealer. I used to be an alcoholic. I used to party. But God still blessed me in my mess. Out of 8 children that my mother had, God chose me out of all of my brothers and sisters. Because God can use us. Because we've been through something. Stop looking down on the young people. Pray for them. Go to them. Talk to them. And see what they tell you. The kids are battling so much in school. And when they come home and try to talk to their mama and daddy, the mama and daddy's too busy. So they go and join games. Where they'll listen to them. Don't knock them down. Love them. Because God loves us. God didn't turn his back on us when we was out there. God still loves us. He gave his only begotten son that we might have life and might have it abundantly. Jesus didn't do no wrong. We did the wrong. He sacrificed his life for us. He ain't turn his back on us. So why turn your back on the youth? Stop judging. God says, if you can't help nobody, if you can't pick the man up, don't bother with him. Don't look down on a man unless you picking him up. That's all I got to say.
All right. Well, thank you, sir, for sharing that information, because it's true. Our people definitely need to actually reach out to try to help our kids, because if we keep ignoring the fact that they are killing each other, that they're caught up into selling drugs, that they're caught up into many of these negative things that we're seeing them doing, it's not going to turn anything around. But if we can actually come together in unity to really bring about some positive change in our community, that's going to really bring about some positive change. And these are things that we really, really need to do. Now, at this point, we could bring on one last person before we go into the prayer and meditation.
Yeah, we have 803-565.
Okay. 803-565. Are you still there?
Unmute yourself. Unmute yourself.
Well, sounds like they either want to be a listener or they're having some kind of technical problem right now. But in either case, being that they are, we can still move forward with this and see what we can do.
Right.
Oh, okay. You get a chance to hear what we were talking about? Hello?
Hello.
Oh. Yeah. Did you get a chance to hear anything that we were talking about?
Yeah.
All right. So what comments do you have or feedback that you have in regards to that?
Well, you was talking about the youth, I believe, the youth and helping your youth.
Correct. That was one of the things. And we were also talking about financially, seeing what we can do to not only just spend our money, but finance, you know, to invest in different financial programs that are out here so that we could have different streams of income coming in. But, yeah, you could definitely speak on the youth part if you'd like to and see what, you know, like to see what you have to say in regards to that.
Well, youth, yeah, a lot of them need things to do. That's good. Some kind of center, some kind of program outside of school or school, you know, is good. And or keeping them out of the trouble. But I'm hearing that a lot of drugs and stuff is in the school now. And smoking a lot of that pot and stuff. And that's not good. It's not good for their brains. And we try to go in the schools and, like I said, the guns in the school, and since we took out the prayer, and I don't know if they still got it back or not, and we could do that and check our children. Sometimes I think a lot of parents don't involve the children in church anymore, and that would be good if they could get them in church and let them hear something about the word, you know, hear about God's word. And, of course, teach them at home, you know, how they should act and conduct themselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and bring some of the respect back, because a lot of times, you know, people, they don't have any respect and stuff for the older people. And then they're up against a lot of things that we didn't have to deal with when we was coming up, you know, got all this technology stuff, you know, technology. And a lot of bad stuff is on the technology, because I was shocked when I pick up my phone and I see all this porno on the phone. So, of course, if I'm picking up that and seeing that, then younger children seeing that and wondering why they're growing up so fast and they're going into things so fast and having children, different things too early because they're, you know, looking at all this bad stuff on the phone. You know, but I was in trouble with some of the stuff I didn't want to see on the phone, all those porno stuff. And you can imagine young people seeing all that, you know, and they don't understand it. And of course, they're going through changes already in their body. So all with all that and all that added on, that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
You know how their flesh is, you know, and then they, you know, getting a certain age and their body. I know my mother didn't taught me, you know, she didn't really have the knowledge and teach me about changes that are going on in my body. And they're going to have changes in their body. They're going to have feelings. So, you know, parents need to teach them instead of just looking on their phone and looking at all these porno stuff. And even on the TV, you got to show everything. You show too much. And it's in the wrong way, the way they show it. You know, they don't show it the way that God intends things to be. And they got it all, a lot of stuff that God made that was good. Man is taking it and making it bad. You know, he did not make our bodies for something bad. He said, a man and a woman, you know, come together for good things. But when our children, mm-hmm. they young, you understand. I was talking about that today. When you're young, you don't have the same mind, you know, that you have when you get older. You know, you're a child, you're young, and, you know, your body, you're going through things, and parents got to teach your children, not just let the TV teach them and the phone teach them.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's taking a lot of knowledge, because a lot of times had a lot of knowledge, but myself even had a lot of knowledge. Some things, you know, you wouldn't do if you knew, you don't know if you had the knowledge, you know. Parents that teach you, but they didn't have no knowledge of stuff, so they couldn't teach you stuff. You know, my mother didn't have, she didn't have no education, so therefore a lot of things she couldn't teach me. She, you know, she didn't know how to read or not write, because back then, you know, in the South, you went in the cotton field, you pick tobacco, and, you know, and that was your job. You go take care of the Caucasian people, you go take care of their family, you cook for them, and take care of their children, and when they got home, then you come home and take care of your children. And so, but we live in a different world now. Everything is, they're slow, they're slow to so much. Everything is quick and fast. We're seeing so much stuff that we were cursing. And, I mean, I was so shocked to hear some of these children that just curse and have no respect over their mouth. And they don't even, you can pass by, you're older person, but they keep on cursing. They don't even have no respect to stop cursing. And the curses in the music. It's on your phone. It's just everywhere. It's like a language to them, and that shouldn't be. I mean, that's terrible. And then you got your lesbians, your gay, the children confused because, you know, you got the gay people and men with men and ladies with ladies. And then the world is saying this is okay, nothing wrong with it, this is normal. And it's not normal. I mean, it's not right. It's not of God. And God said, man, he made man and woman and not no two men and not the two ladies. And you got the children, they're raising the children, two men and adopting children and two ladies with not children. And now they don't even want to have, some of them don't want men to impregnate them. They go and they go to these places and they impregnate them with, I don't know how they do it, but anyway, they're not having, you know, sexual intercourse with other babies. They're going and letting them put a baby in them, however they do that. I don't know. So they're just confused, you know?
I hear you on that.
You know, but now man has taken to make it dirty and bad. So then they're feeling bad and dirty about themselves or feeling bad and dirty towards a man. And the man, you know, and then some of them, I say they've been abused by men. So therefore, they take it out, some of them, on all the men. They're mad and hate all the men. And it's just a lot. And so we just have to pray and teach our children to pray and tell them the right way things are supposed to be. And hopefully, you know, they'll get God and he can teach them to read the word because everything is in the word the right way. To read God's word, everything is the right way. God had an order and a standard of how he wanted stuff to be. And that's why everything is such a mess because a lot of people don't want to go by that. They want to do what they want to do and they don't want to go by God's word and do it how he said do it. So therefore, that's where they have so much problem.
There you go. So, sis, I do appreciate your feedback on this, and just want to say that we only have a few minutes left. So what we're going to do is do a prayer and meditation from here, but it's going to be a quickie because the bottom line is we only got about 8 minutes left. So that's going to be a real quick one. So, we have Prophetess Ann. She could say a quick prayer here, and then we'll take it from there.
God is called. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you, God. We just thank you for another day. God, we just thank you for what you already done. And in Jesus' name, amen.
Okay. So right now, what we're looking at is just a few minutes left, and just want to say, this, that we should definitely, once again, come together in unity and see God's awesome and amazing power of his divine love and Jesus's as well, going into the minds and hearts of our youth, and also see it going into the minds and hearts of our adults, and allowing our hearts and minds to be purified so that we no longer have the desire to kill one another, to hate one another, to not have nothing to do with one another, but reverse that negativity and allow the pure love of God and the pure love of Jesus the Christ to actually be utilized to have our people have a desire to help one another, to care for one another, to uplift one another, to love and respect one another. And by us seeing ourselves from a positive perspective and a desire to want to help and to bring about positive change, that is something that we really, really need to do. So all I can say at this point is our people need to definitely see about coming together so that we can really, really spiritually come together and utilize the power of God and Jesus the Christ to heal our community, to be a blessing to our community, to bring positive change within our community. And the thing about it is, I know for some of you, you don't believe that we have any spiritual power or ability to do anything. and therefore this would be a waste of time. But for those of you whose minds and hearts are open to the fact that God and Jesus are here to bless us and help us out so that we can bring about positive and wonderful change in our community, those are the people that I'm talking to right now. You guys need to reach out to see what you can do to join us in our effort to bring about spiritual unity amongst our people. Because once we do come together for spiritual unity and focus on the spiritual formula of God and Jesus the Christ, we'll be able to really see some positive change come about without a doubt. So anyway, again, a number where you could call me at is 914-979-6372. That's 914-979-6372, and we'll see what we can do to really bring about some positive change in our community, because we do not need to have this madness existing and problems that we're confronted with any longer. But what we do need to do is know that we have the ability to end all of this insanity in our community and in the world community. And with that being said, we can now start to play the music because we only have 5 minutes left. But I just want to say peace and blessings to all of you. And thank you for coming on board. And just know for a fact that we will definitely make some things happen. Peace and blessings.
Seems like you can't make it through. Child. Oh.